The Ebola outbreak in West Africa has claimed over 7,800 lives. That's more than all previous Ebola outbreaks combined. Now, experts are saying that many of those deaths could have been prevented. Dr. Pierre Piot, who discovered the Ebola virus in 1976, recently called this year's outbreak in Africa an avoidable crisis. There were some very real decisions and mistakes that helped make this crisis so much worse than past outbreaks. The New York Times conducted a two-month investigation and found that a large number of cases could be traced back to two patients with Ebola-like symptoms in Sierra Leone. Those cases were never reported to top health officials. Here to talk about it is New York Times investigative reporter Kevin Sack. Welcome, Kevin.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
You tell a story of an Ebola outbreak in the spring of this year in West Africa, in the country of Guinea, that health experts thought was unremarkable. Ebola has been seen before, and this outbreak seemed like it was petering out. What happened?
Well, that's right. In fact, it's hard to remember now that there have been so many deaths, almost 8,000 deaths and, you know, approaching 20,000 cases. But there was a period back in April and May when cases declined almost to zero. In fact, they went to zero in Liberia for a while. These are, of course, recorded cases as opposed to cases that might be underground. But in terms of what the scientists and doctors could see, yes, it seemed like it was petering out, just like all the Ebola outbreaks in other parts of Africa, Central Africa and East Africa, that they had been dealing with since 1976. It seemed very routine, and they couldn't have been more wrong about that.
Well, you write about the fact that at the same time as this outbreak appeared to be petering out, there was another one sort of overlaid on it that was rising up that nobody caught.
There were cases that, as I said, went underground for any number of reasons. And the mistake that a lot of people on the ground made was that they assumed that what they saw was what there was. And that wasn't the case at all. Again, for a number of reasons, cultural reasons, geographic reasons. People were unfamiliar with the virus, although it had been in other parts of Africa. It was brand new to West Africa. The medical infrastructure was totally unprepared for it. And in a lot of cases, steps taken by governments and non-governmental organizations and health organizations didn't account for particular cultural differences in this part of the world. The messaging that went out from governments often backfired. An example is that early messaging encouraged people to take sick family members to hospitals quickly, which actually was against the protocol, which was to leave them where they were until a trained and qualified and an adequately protected team could come and pick them up in an ambulance.
There were also significant failures in very human bureaucracies, the WHO, other organizations that seemed to be paralyzed or at least sclerotic in a lot of ways when it came time for quick decisions and quick action.
Well, I think every organization involved, whether it's the WHO, the CDC, Doctors Without Borders, would tell you now that they didn't put nearly enough people on the ground or enough resources into West Africa in the early months. But yes, there also were bureaucratic obstacles. It's a little bit complex, but WHO has a very unusual governance system. They have a worldwide headquarters in Geneva, led by Dr. Margaret Chan. But then they have largely autonomous regional offices in each of six regions, including Africa. And the directors of those offices report most directly to the governments in those regions. And the governments often have different imperatives in an outbreak like this than the health officials do. Their goal is to try to tamp down any panic, to make sure that foreign investment doesn't leave the country. So there were efforts, particularly in Guinea, to try to minimize the problem, or at least the public perception of the problem, and to keep the numbers down that were being reported.
At the same time, one of the main imperatives in an Ebola outbreak or an outbreak in a disease like Ebola is identify and isolate. And you talk about the two cases that I mentioned in Sierra Leone. Now, the outbreak that everyone knew about was in Guinea. Talk about these two cases in Sierra Leone, why they were not identified and reported in a timely way. They were just missed, or what?
So in the middle of March, before Ebola had even been correctly diagnosed with blood testing, during the period when there were simply people getting sick and dying and nobody quite knew what it was, the Ghanaian Health Ministry and the WHO sent out a team of investigators, doctors, and other researchers across the affected area in Guinea to try to take case counts and interview family members and find out what commonalities there were. And during that trip, they came across reports of four different cases that had some connection to Sierra Leone. Either the patients had been living in Sierra Leone, they were taken back to Sierra Leone to be buried, something like that. Only two of those four cases were ever fully reported to the authorities in Sierra Leone, and we were able to document that there were direct connections from those cases to the eventual cases that were confirmed in Sierra Leone 2 full months later.
There were many, many factors here that you identify in your piece, Kevin Sack. We've talked about a lot of the human failures, some of the scientific failures, certainly bureaucratic ones. The most important question now, perhaps, is whether or not the lessons learned phase has been executed in an effective way. Do you have the sense that health officials, leaders, everyone from doctors and nurses up through the heads of the WHO and the politicians have really learned from the mistakes of this episode so that they will be more nimble next time?
I think yes and no. I think they are very reflective about what happened in the spring. I think they're chastened. They certainly all acknowledge that they needed to have more people and more resources in West Africa earlier than they did. And at the same time, even now, with this contagion still largely out of control in West Africa, any hopeful news is grasped enthusiastically. You know, there are reports that infection rates are declining in Liberia, and because of that, there's been considerable optimism, despite the fact that there are still hundreds of deaths every week. And so the hope has to be that that what didn't happen last time will happen now.
Assessing some of the failures that happened in confronting the worst Ebola outbreak in history in West Africa, Kevin Sack of the New York Times. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.